Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Victoria Bailey. I'm with the Indiana Federal Community Defender's Office, and I'm here today on behalf of Matthew Queen. This case comes before the court today on direct appeal of Mr. Queen's conviction following a conditional plea of guilty based on the district court's denial of Mr. Queen's motion to dismiss. The issue before the court today is simple. What is a fact material to the lawfulness of the sale of a firearm, as that phrase is used in 18 United States Code, Section 922A6. Other subsections of 922 and other sections of the chapter provide the answer to that question. That is correct, Your Honor. The other circuits who have decided, who have published opinions on this matter, have decided that way. I believe there are a couple reasons, Your Honor, that those cases were wrongly decided. First being, the best place to look for what is material to the lawfulness of the sale is the statute itself. There are several places in the statute where material characteristics, if you will, of a person, whether or not they're convicted of a felony, whether they received a dishonorable discharge, those are all included in the statute. So I think the first and best place to look for materiality is to the statute itself. Secondly, there is a difference between materiality and what is required. There is a separate statute that makes criminal misstating a fact that is required to be kept in the record. There's a difference between requisite and materiality. And
admitting that they have the right to ask him for his address, but you're saying that he gets to put the wrong address down?
Not exactly, Your Honor. The way in which the ATF chose to interpret its own regulation, that is entitled to a great amount of deference. What's at issue is here is how the ATF interpreted the statute. There's a difference between the ATF interpreting its own regulation and thereby creating the form, and the ATF interpreting the statute. The statute is clear in one respect, that the only issue of residency that arises as far as legality of purchase is the state of residency. It is a crime for a licensed firearms dealer to sell a firearm to someone who is from a different state. That is really the only place in the statute where residency or place of residence or whatever becomes relevant and thereby material. Absolutely. But, Your Honor, in that case, it's not material to the lawfulness of the sale. It may be material to some other law enforcement interest, but not to what Congress decided was material for the sale to be lawful. That's a separate interest. Again, the statute clearly sets out things or characteristics about a person that are material to whether or not the sale is lawful. A street address is not one of those things. In that case, it would be, well, hopefully then the person would be in prison, Your Honor, and not purchasing a firearm out at a gun dealership. Very true, Your Honor. In that case, it would be relevant, but the form also provides a place for the purchaser to indicate whether they are either under indictment for felony charges or whether they have been convicted. The address is not the material issue. It's the prior felony conviction that is material. The fact that the HEF form requires one street address does not make that information material. I think it's convenient for them. It may help them in their law enforcement purposes. If their stated purpose is to keep tabs on firearms, where firearms are, where the people who purchase them are located, it could be helpful, and it could be relevant, and it could be convenient. But those things do not rise to the level of materiality as indicated in the statute. I see that my time has expired. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and Ms. Bailey, my name is Gail Hellert and I have represented the government throughout this entire proceeding. This case included the fact that Matthew Queen purchased 44 firearms over a 6-month period of time. Matthew Queen was not an otherwise prohibited person from owning or possessing firearms. Matthew Queen purchased these firearms on 20 different occasions, each time giving an address from which he had previously lived but from which he had been evicted. Matthew Queen, therefore, intentionally gave a false address when purchasing the firearms in this case. The homeless person scenario is really Mr. Queen's third argument in his brief. The existence of homeless people shouldn't stop Congress's otherwise valid exercise of power. I don't know the answer to that. A homeless person might have a homeless shelter address to put down. A homeless person might really stay at a parent's address for 2 or 3 nights out of the week. A homeless person, that's very true. But that's true. And a homeless person, what this case does not present is a homeless person who put down on the form, truthfully, I have no address. I sleep on the street, I sleep on great number something, and then was denied the sale of a gun. So I don't know. And maybe Congress's otherwise valid exercise of power would include that maybe we want an address because we want a place for a gun to be stored as well. But one thing is for sure, this case does not present Mr. Queen giving truthful information about where he lived. Mr. Queen admits that he did give a false address, but argues to this court that giving a false street address is not material to the sale of the firearm. And to the extent that Mr. Queen's argument is that the statute's focus or means to focus just on a truthful name is simply too narrow of an interpretation of materiality. We need accurate addresses for at least 2 compelling reasons. Law enforcement needs to find people who first purchase firearms when they do criminal investigations, and this case illustrates why. 15 of the guns that Mr. Queen purchased were found in crime scenes later in Detroit and Chicago. And a second compelling reason is that gun dealers' records, if we're going to require them to be kept at all, are only useful if they're accurate. The only published case which supports Mr. Queen's argument is the 1971 District Court opinion of United States versus Benton, which has been rejected by 3 other circuits who have considered the Benton decision. And this court can also rely on the fact that ATF itself has rejected this interpretation by a reading of the 4473 form, which interprets residence as requiring the purchaser to provide a street address. Mr. Queen gave a false address over and over and over because he did not want to be found. Mr. Queen was not confused. Mr. Queen was plainly put on notice that providing a false answer to the question subjected him to prosecution on the very form that he signed. And again, as this case exemplifies, the information about a street address matters, and it is thus material. 15 of the firearms were later located by law enforcement, the majority in crime scenes. In these scenarios, Mr. Queen needed to be found quickly and interviewed. And in these scenarios, law enforcement does not need a condoned goose chase to find these original purchasers. The government requests that the district court's ruling be affirmed.